Michael West is a Walkley Award-winning journalist and adjunct professor at the University of Sydney's School of Social and Political Sciences, who's worked in various outlets but now runs his own independent media online newspaper and platform, Michael West News. And I've got him on the phone all the way from Sydney. Good morning, Michael West, and welcome to Noongar Radio.
Good to be on the show, Mark.
Excellent. Okay. Now, you cover lots of, well, a vast array of subjects on your media website, mainly talking about the rising power of corporations over democracies. And you started this news outlet in 2016. How has that platform grown since then? And has there been growth in readership over the past 18 months with COVID?
Sorry, Mark, could you repeat that? I'm sorry, it's a little dropout on the line there. Would you mind just asking the question again?
Sure. There's been a growth over your platform since you started in 2016, and readership over the past 18 months. How has it grown after COVID?
Well, it had a huge spike at the beginning of COVID as people sort of craved news and were suddenly at home with plenty of time on their devices. And we had this massive spike. We did about 500,000 or 600,000 traffic in 1 month in April or thereabouts. And since then, it's really plateaued. What we've done, Mark, is that we then also had just taken over the production for John Menatory's Pearls and Irritations, which is like a public policy journal which covers all the important stuff by sort of senior voices. And that has grown now to more than 500,000. While we flatlined, we've gone from zero to 500,000, and then we've gone nowhere since. But where we have put on the growth is in YouTube, because when Facebook pulled their news feed, remember when Facebook had a little stoush with the government over the media policy,
yeah,
they stopped pulling news. We get 100,000 Facebook referrals to the website a month. And so we quickly went into YouTube, Instagram and TikTok even. We even went on TikTok, which, contrary to expectations, is not only 13-year-old girls, it's also quite a few adults. And that, so all these other platforms helped us grow as we struggled during COVID. And we had a few resignations and people poached by other media organisations, so it was a trying time for us just as much as anybody else.
Right. So if you could sum up the news and the state of Australia and the world over the past year, what would you say?
The state of Australia and the world?
Yeah, about the news. You know, if you could sum up the news and the state of Australia and the world over the past year, what would you say?
Well, I'd say that it's been a hugely tumultuous time for a lot of people. And economically, what we've seen, it's played into our hands in a sense, because our central mandate really is to cover the rising power of corporations over democracy. So we do government and political corruption, we do lobbyists and political donations and where government spending goes and pork barrelling and all that juicy sort of stuff. And, you know, calling, obviously, we're avid advocates for a federal ICAC or a federal integrity commission, Mark. But I would say, for most people, unfortunately, the result has been that the rich have got richer and the poor have got poorer. It's in the numbers and it's been very sharp. And this is very unfortunate. And some of your listeners will know this, because when they pulled back the Job Seeker, you know, it was all up. They got a $4 rise. I mean, the Job Seeker suddenly doubled, so all the sort of coalition faithful suddenly got, and we're no huge fans of the Labor Party either, but we think in terms of government policy, it was terrible, the way the thing was handled, because policy really forced asset prices up. So if you own shares or owned a home or you had plenty of money already, then you're worth a lot more today, and you've got a lot more savings too, because you haven't been out to restaurants, etc., you know, or taking overseas trips. But if you can't afford, if you're not there, house prices have become, you know, completely unreachable. Share market prices have run into bull market territory, our highest ever by a long shot. So really, the disparities are huge, and wages have not kept up. Although, I might say just recently, if you speak to people, there is a lot of pressure on wages. So the boot, for once in a long, long time, may be on the other foot. We just don't know for how long.
Yeah. Okay, so the work you do is punching up at corporations and the money influence on politics. And you recently wrote a piece about Australia's defamation laws and how they're used against especially smaller publications. Can you tell us about it?
Well, we've had four threats, defamation threats, this year at least. I mean, I lose count of them almost. I was going to count them up and write a story about them, because last week in Canberra, there was the debate over whether to have an inquiry into the concentration of media ownership in Australia. As you know, in WA it's very concentrated with Kerry Stokes' media and Nine and so on, and the commercial TV. The government policy has been to play into the hands of Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation and Nine Entertainment by allowing them to merge with Fairfax. And so the result has been that media diversity has gone nowhere despite the rapid growth in social media. So you've got people like us, you've got Friendly Geordies on YouTube, you've got a bunch of independent media who are growing because they aren't influenced by government or corporations, and they can sort of put their hands on their heart and say what, you know, the truth is. More, they haven't got corporate agendas to run. But the problem, of course, is that, you know, they're saying in Canberra that's all due to, you know, concentration of media ownership. But it's not. What it's due to, the biggest problem for us, is being threatened by lawyers.
Yeah.
And the waste of time in dealing with these things. We've had one from a bunch of Maya Vandenberg in some bunch of lawyers on behalf of a government employee in Canberra. We've had another one from a bloke who hit his neighbours with a fence paling, a man and a wife, and he threatened us saying it wasn't intentional. We've had another one from the Catholic Church's Cemeteries Trust, where there's a $5 billion fight on for these. You know, we're running out of space in Melbourne and Sydney for cemeteries, and the Catholic Church controlled Cemeteries Trust has threatened to sue us, which is funded by government money.
Yeah.
So there's all this stuff, and there's another one or two. There's a bunch of gas frackers that had a crack at us as well. So really, it's a plague, because it soaks up all your resources, your time, having to deal with lawyers, and every time somebody comes at you, you've got to think about the fact that you will lose your home if this goes to court and you lose the court case, and you will get done with their costs as well as your costs. So that's what you're thinking every time you get one of these. So there's a lot of stress involved, but also they consume time and they shut down. We tell them to go away, go jump in the lake, courteously, Mark, but a lot of people just pull their story straight away when they get a threat from a lawyer, and they apologise because they just can't afford the legal fight.
Yeah, yes, it's all, and it's not about the evidence or the truthfulness of the situation, it's all about the fight. All right, so I wanted to focus on another one of your fairly recent pieces at Michael West News. It's about the privatisation of Australia's job service providers and how rich certain companies are getting off of people who should be getting support. Tell me about that one.
Well, it's a failed system, and both sides of Parliament sort of agree on this, so there's some changes to the Job Active program. I mean, if you're employable, then it's a tick and flick exercise, but they park you and don't do anything but take the government revenue if they can't get you a job. That's essentially the way it works, not all the time, and there's better providers and less good providers. But we were commissioned to do a report, so we looked into, when, you know, got all their financial statements and found out who got all the big money. We're talking billions of dollars a year in payments to middlemen and middlewomen, basically, through the Job Active program. Rather than just having an SES, they've outsourced it, they've privatised this job procurement thing. And of course, so there's, we looked at the companies behind it, and the big ones are multinationals. They're foreign controlled companies profiting from the jobs crisis in Australia and making big profits as well. And one of them, a mob called APM, launched on the stock market. They even floated on the stock market, and the dummy super funds went and bought this thing, and they've lost $1 billion of the investment. It's floated only a few weeks ago because they didn't realise they bought the merchant bankers line that this was going to be a rosy investment. And then we came out with our report and so on, and basically showed that the end of the scheme. So these guys are now all turning to the NDIS. They're going to be turning to the poor old disabled people to make their next big dollar, and so it's just gaming of government things, and it's a cycle of, you know, we'll give you donations, we'll lobby you and so on, you give us big fat juicy government contracts. But the main thing is that there's no really efficient way of getting people jobs through this thing. I mean, they'd be better off with the old apprentice scheme, but the report goes in a bit more detail than that, but that's the guts of it.
Yeah, it's quite a good report, well worth the read, all you people out there listening. Michael, just before I let you go, we're entering an election year. What's your reading of the field of play, and what should voters be doing to make sure they make a fully informed decision at the ballot box?
Well, as usual, I think, you know, the line will be, Mark, from the government, federal government, that they are superior economic managers, which isn't true, but that will be the line from the government. And also there's a bit of this sort of China's going to invade us stuff running around, and there'll be a whole lot of scare tactics like there was at the last election, great big tax this, great big tax that. Now, the fact is, if the government does offer better taxes for people, people are going to look at it and go, I'm going to be a few dollars a week off, better off on this. So there's also talk of tax cuts now, even though we've got the hugest budget deficit and most gigantic, almost trillion-dollar debt as a result of COVID and poor management. But the Labor Party, of course, is doing small targets, so they're just sitting there going, we're not going to have much of a policy, because otherwise they're going to wedge us and attack us and do the great big tax this, great big tax that, climate change stuff. So the policies are quite close with the major parties, which is a problem, because it goes towards the sort of stale stasis in reform. Reform this country really needs, because the Labor Party's got to keep its head down to try to get in on government competence and Scott Morrison being a liar and that kind of stuff, which is well established. We're not defaming it. So then you've got the Greens, who really haven't gone anywhere for quite some time, but may end up, if they do well, because Labor hasn't got much, there's such a policy divergence now between the minor parties and the major parties, that they're hoping to pick up 10 seats in the Senate and so on, hold the balance of power. But you've got the independents. You've got like 20 to 25 independence movements, like over in my seat, Zali Steggall knocked out Tony Abbott the last election. These independents, you know, that could be the big one. People are expecting it to be bigger last time, but that could be the one that makes a difference. And I think, I mean, it's difficult because you need to get these guys out of power, because they're, you know, all the pork barreling and the misuse of public money, our money, it's ridiculous now. But it's all become politics, not policy. The Labor Party, will there be change? Do you vote them in just to get rid of the government? Because they're realistically the only people that can knock off the Libs. I mean, that is probably the best route if you want to get rid of the Libs. But then again, if you want longer-term political reform, I think you need more independence in the system, because every deal that goes through Parliament will need to be brokered between people that aren't getting political donations from large corporations. People like Rex Patrick.
Yeah.
Rex Patrick has been fantastic on political corruption. He's an ex-submariner, and he's been terrific, and he's at risk of losing his seat because the media is so concentrated, especially in South Australia, that they just give him no coverage down there.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem for independents, coverage. All right. Thanks for being on Noongar Radio this morning, Michael. I really appreciate your time, and I keep telling people to go and read the independent media. Michael, West News, you guys. I hope to catch
you. Merry Christmas to you, Mark.
Excellent.
Thanks for having me on, mate. It's been great to finally have a chat.